Hi, thank you for joining us on the Raise Up Podcast. I'm Athena.
Carly Graham.
And we have a special guest today that is going to be a great treat for everybody listening to the podcast today.
So, like, everybody knows him already, so I don't even know why we have to introduce him.
Yeah, well, everybody in our region knows him.
100%. So we have John Schwartz from Perfectionist.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
Welcome.
Thank you for letting us, let me join the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely.
So John has been a partner of ours for, I can't even say, I'm probably the 24 years that we've been doing it.
The whole time?
Yeah, the whole time. I remember coming to get my first auto start and I had to pay full price because John said, everybody has to, your first hit's not for free. You have to pay for your first hit.
I was like, who's Charlie Grimm?
Yeah,
who's this busy guy?
I was like, hey, we need it. We need to get some auto starts and stuff going. I think that's back when we had C&G Services too. And then we had C&G Services, our snow plowing, and then we were just breaking into the limo side. And that was in 2000.
That was crazy, man.
I think we saw you a little bit actually before we had the limos and we started doing the limos as C&G Services a little bit before, because I rented some space from John behind the in the old yard where he has the covered parking. That was when I first started renting from John there. Back when you were on the other side of the building.
I think we're aging ourselves there, bro.
We are very well aging ourselves.
Well, and you know, one of the key things that John's products solved for us was being able to unlock our limousines when the drivers lock the keys in the car.
I think it was the drivers. I think we have more problems with the customers trying to unlock and do the doors, because we in Bach 1 back in the day, or a 10-passenger limousine, it had a lock and unlock button, so the driver would get out the door and everything would be unlocked, and the driver, and I mean the passenger in the back, would hit the lock button, and then they would shut the door, and they'd be like, oh no, we can't get in.
That's right.
Yeah, so that was almost 25 years ago, solving that issue. And then the other issue that the technology advanced, and then we were able to start the car from our phones and unlock the car from our phones and track the car from our phones. So his company does a multitude of things, which, Sean, we want you to explain what that all of your offerings are, but in particular, BAC and AMT use the drone system has been really helpful.
Yeah, it's been a journey. Definitely a lot of technology. You guys have been one of the helping hands in making the technology better for everybody with the amount of vehicles you guys have had. You know, they had to, I remember a couple of times me and Charlie were laughing because they had to redo the apps. Man, we have more vehicles. And like, man, it's not supposed to hold this many. You know, now we have an endless amount of vehicles you can add because of you guys.
So. Yeah, was it, John? Was it like 4 to 6 or something?
The cap used to be like 10. And then, then it was like, oh, now we need like 20. And then it was like, now we need 40. And then like, man, just make it 100. And we're like, now it's like, okay, we need over 100 now, you know. So that was, it was definitely a fun challenge. But the nice thing with our company, so obviously what Athena's talking about is how CompuStar, our brand, started in Alaska. So I actually started with CompuStar before Perfectionist. The owner of Perfectionist bought it in 95 and then came up with this brand CompuStar in 98. And then I came on in 99. And then that basically grew in Perfectionist. And now we're the biggest security company in North America, which is pretty amazing. We just celebrated our 25th year in December. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, through that, with drone mobile and all these types of things, being able to own the manufacturing, the hardware side, the software side, web development, all in-house, that's where we can make those changes to accommodate your vehicles, you know? So, because it's like another company, you know, you're just calling in a rep, hey man, you know, we have a suggestion, you know? But with us being part of the R&D team, it's like, hey, I need this change, and it happens in, you know, a couple of days, it's there, you know, so.
Now, if I remember right, Jason Lee was the founder of CompuStar. Was that correct?
That's right. Yeah, Jason Lee.
And then he was also your mentor. I mean, you work for Jason, and he is like, I remember working at Pure Street Annex, and Jason was across the street selling auto starts and stereo systems and stuff out of that, which would be the Alaska Club building.
That's right.
Yeah, they're signing out. APD's got that place over there. They've got to do some retrofitting, but I remember he's there because I remember working at Pierce Street and he had limos and all that stuff over there. And we would help get them for some of our talent, some of our people. So we'd go over there and talk to him. Jason was just a hustler from that time on.
Yeah, he has an interesting story. You know, he was a business lawyer by trade. And then kind of like most of us, you know, kind of had like a midlife change. And they said, hey, took his whole family. They moved from Oregon to Alaska. And then he bought Perfectionist, used to be called Perfectionist Car Care Center. Then he had Touch of Class Limo. Yeah. And then Perfectionist Car Detailing. And it was just kind of a mess. I think he didn't, you know, he just bought it and didn't really know.
He was
just
going in all these different directions.
Yeah, he's just trying to figure it out. Then he had a couple guys and they're like, yeah, we're going to help you. And it was just, it was a big mess. Like, well, I hate to say, when I came on in 99, it was, I was like the spy of the company, and Jason wanted me to go there, and I came from a really prestigious shop, and I remember me and him arguing, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna go work at that shop. I'm working for CompuStar. I'm not working for a perfectionist. And eventually I lost because he's the boss,
Right,
so I
right.
ended up, he's like, just be my spy, let me know what's going on. And so I remember they were dropping my toolbox off on the big flatbed, and so I come in and I'm looking at the guys, they're looking at me, and we're just kind of like, I said, look, you don't like me, I don't like you, so I'm just gonna blow my cover. I'm a spy, okay? I'm Jason Spy. Anything you do, I'm gonna tell Jason. So don't mess up, don't screw up nothing.
That
And
was your
that was my
introduction to working
introduction.
at
Hell of an
perfectionist.
intro, because we all knew each other from the industry,
Sure.
but we all came from the best shop at the time, and then to
And
the
that was
war
who
shop.
was that back in the day? That was
Safe and Sound.
SafeSat,
Yeah,
Terry.
it's
Yeah,
Terry. Yeah,
Terry,
Terry
yeah.
Spessard was amazing. He yeah, I got a, pretty cool with that guy. He was like a second father to me too. And you remember back when you worked for somebody, right? Like you put your 2 week notice in, So at the time, I worked for Terry since I was 18, and going into 21, 22, if you can imagine, I was pretty cocky, So I was one of the best technicians in Alaska at the time. And so all these little shops, pop-ups, would try to hire me. Hey, come run my shop. You're working over there. And I remember going to Terry and like, hey Terry, I'm giving my 2 week notice, man. And he's like, what are you talking about? Oh, I'm gonna go work for Athena. She got a new shop, she wants me to come run it. No, Athena's gonna go out of business. Don't You're not gonna go over there. Go back to work. And I'm like, I'm giving you my 2 week notice. I'm quitting, okay? No, go back to work. That's not a good fit for you. And I'm like, all right. So I just, hey man,
You just listen to
sorry,
him?
Athena, I can't come work for you.
Okay.
Terry told me no, So I probably did that 4 times, and
Was
finally.
that him more looking out for you at that time,
Oh,
Terry? Or you think,
absolutely.
or I think he.
Terry is, he's the one of the most amazing humans on the planet.
Seems
He
pretty good salt of the earth.
is incredible. He's been in the industry, he's like a godfather,
Sure.
And it's I remember when the CompuStar situation happened, I was at Red Robin on Diamond, and basically Jason, invited me to lunch, and he slid the remote on the table, the very first two-way. So basically
I remember that one.
they created the
Big
first
old
two.
antenna on the
That's
front.
right.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this is 99. So it was like, this is like Star Trek. I was like, dude, like, whoa, like, this is crazy,
And so the two-way meaning that
and it's going to page you back.
it'll page you back with a
Right,
beep that
right.
your car is locked or
That's
whatever.
right. And
Okay.
so at the time, there was nothing like that in the whole industry. And he used the first one. So I was like, oh my God, And at the time, Viper was like the biggest company. It was like Apple back then,
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you want to do with this? And he goes, I want to beat Viper. And I'm just like, bro, you're crazy. This is the biggest company in the world, man. Are you nuts? Like, he's like, I can beat him with this. And I was like, all right, man. So then he was like, well, what would it take for you to come join us? And I was like, I'm the man. I was like, I need $15 an hour, and I need to go to CES every year. And then he's like, deal. And I was like, oh, I should ask for
Sold myself
16.
cheap.
Yeah, I should have
Well,
asked for $16 an hour,
back then, like that was
That
good
was good money.
money.
Oh, really? I mean, it took me, 5 years of Safe and Sound to make that. I started making, when I first worked, I was making like $6.50 an hour or something like that.
Were you at his original property when he was off Dowling?
No, I so right when they moved into Old Seward, that's when
Okay.
I got hired over there. So, and anyway, so I went to Terry and I said, hey, Terry, man, I got this opportunity. They want me to be the head tech for this new company called CompuStar. They make remote starts. And he was like, now that's a good opportunity. Now I'll take your 2 week notice.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was it. So September 1st, 1999 was my first day at CompuStar, and then it was incredible, man. Being a think about your first spaceship. I don't know, when I met you on Arctic, right? You had that what's the address on that? The 54th or
54th,
something?
yeah.
Yeah,
54th, yeah.
yeah. And
660 West
so you
54th.
remember that space,
Yeah.
right? You're like, man, you're gonna make it one day, And then, so when we started at CompuStar, we were in a 1,200 foot, oh no, it was a 1,000 foot room, and we had 3 desks. And then Jason had an office. There was another guy, Nam. Then it was this guy, Brian, me, and then we had like the bookkeeper. And then it was 1,000 feet. And then we
That's
would,
the same complex right
no,
now.
that was, it was actually over here by,
Or is that the one was off Fireweed?
it was, no, this one was over here. There's a Korean church right over here next to Sicily's. So if
Okay,
you drive down,
I
yeah,
know
you
one.
drive down to Sicily's, there's a Korean
Yep,
church there.
more familiar.
So yeah, so that what we had,
Jason,
we,
makes sense.
yeah, we, yeah, we rented, yeah, he rented a 1,000 foot spot. And every day at like noon, we would all get together, stop working, we would go in the shipping room, and we'd pack units together. And I'm not even kidding, we would like, so back then, a case of remote starts would be 10 remote starts in a box. If we sold a case, we would literally go out to dinner and celebrate. So we probably just spent all the money we just made, but we were
Sure.
like, we sold a case, we're gonna make it one day, now to see, like, my showroom I have at Perfectionist is 1,250 feet, so 250 feet bigger than the first CompuStar,
Yeah,
just to show them.
Yeah, just a showroom. So it was pretty amazing. to see all these things happen. And then so in 2020 during COVID, Viper Direct Electronics ended up getting bought out by another company, and they kind of broke it up. So at that point, that moved us to the number one position.
Wow.
So I remember calling
Jason's
Jason,
dream.
and I was like, "Jason, how you feeling? Like when the article came out, how you feeling today?" And he's just like, "Man, 20 years it took us, but as we did it, man, we
Yeah.
never stopped." And now, now we have multiple facilities. You got a huge facility in Texas and big one in Seattle. We just opened a big one in Saskatoon in Canada. And so it was just, and it's all privately held. Jason's had it the whole time, and it's just amazing, So, and through that's like been part of perfectionists,
That's been your journey through perfectionist.
yeah, and
Yeah.
following in those things. So perfectionist itself, when I ended up getting it, so we were talking about off camera some of the challenges. So at that time, perfectionist was so bad, and I would literally beg people to give me a shot. And all my friends were like, "Why would you go to this place? Like, it's so bad, And so for the first month after I told everybody I was a spy, I'm taking notes and taking notes. A month later, Jason takes me out to dinner, and then he's like, "Okay, let's break it down." I was like, "I'm flipping pages. Look at this. I said, "Man, you're losing 10, 15 grand a month, just in theft and damage. It's crazy." And it was just such a messed up situation. And then he was finally like, "Well, what do you think I should do?" And I said, "Bro, I said, you, the shop is so bad. I'd fire everybody and start over." I said, "You're already the worst. Like, you
Right.
can't get any worse than this. It's so bad." And then he was just quiet for like 10 minutes. And I was like, "Oh, God, this guy, he's gonna fire me, Like, oh, I messed up." And then 10 minutes later, he's like, "Okay, tomorrow you're the new manager. You fire everybody else, and I'll fire the store manager. And then we'll start tomorrow. You're gonna be the new boss." And I'm like, "I don't know how to run a company. I'm only 22, And he's just like, "Well, I don't know how to run a company either, obviously. So we'll figure it out together." So the next day I went in, we had about eight, nine guys, and I pulled everybody together. And I said, "Well, I kind of told you all this is going to happen. And so we're letting everybody go today. You can finish today or you can leave now. But today's everybody's last day."
Where were you guys installing then, John? So
We
you're.
were, we were, we were in where Sherrod, Alaska is now. So
Okay, so
the first part where I met you. So we were there. So we were in
That's a
that.
great location.
Yeah,
That
I
was
loved it.
state of the art.
this is fascinating to me because I've never heard a manager coming in and like firing everybody and starting over. So
Well, the
tell us,
owner. I mean, that was the owner,
like,
Jim.
tell
Well, he
us.
let me fire everybody, and
Oh,
he
you
fired the
said he
manager.
fired the manager. But then, John, so what was the process in like rebuilding?
So the next day, literally, so this is going
What about
in.
all your customers too? Like, holy
Well,
cow.
the funny, we didn't have a lot of customers then,
Okay.
honestly, like, as we were so bad. And then so the next day I came to work, and I was by myself, so it took 2 months before we hired our first employee. So I was answering all the phones, doing all the installs, because everybody that worked for CompuStar, they were more like salespeople. None of them were techs. I was like the only tech. So I was I always had a pocket full of business cards in my, like, even now I still got a pocket full of business cards. And everywhere I'd go, I'd have business cards. "Give us a shot, give us a shot." Did the funny side. I don't know if you remember when we had a huge banner on the side under new management and all kind of stuff, and tried everything,
Yeah.
and just literally would just beg people. And then at that point, had to super over deliver, and like give away a lot of labor, give away a lot of time just to, get one person. So in advertising, there's a term called a sneezer. And I read this in a book. So back then, so Jason was an amazing boss, but he wasn't a great teacher. Right, in the sense of he would just be like, "Hey, tonight I need this report. Okay, bye." And he was like, "Wow, what the heck? Like, what's a P&L? I don't know what a P&L is, things like that." So what I would do is, I didn't really understand mentors and things. So I have three daughters, as you guys know, and so every Sunday I would take my kids to Barnes and Noble, and they would get like a kid book, and then I would think of what I sucked at this week, time management, leadership, whatever it was. And then I
Something
was.
you wanted to get better at.
Yeah, so I would read a book a week, and so I just had so many books on, business, on stuff, trying to figure out, and sometimes you just get a paragraph out of a book that changes everything,
Yeah.
But we were,
We call that a nugget. A
yeah, a
nugget.
nugget. There
Like
you
a
go. Yeah.
nugget.
So one of the things I read about was a sneezer, and that is finding someone like, like Charlie, huge influencer, right? So you get Charlie on the team, and then Charlie's naturally going to tell everybody because he's sneezing on you, everybody, So I was like, "Oh, I love that. I need to
Never
find
heard of a
more
sneezer.
sneezers." And that's what grows your business. Like, "Oh, man, And Charlie is like, "Oh, man, I need to find someone to tow my truck." "Oh, I got you. Hold on. I gotta
Yep,
come.
he
My
knows
buddy
everyone.
Perfections,"
Yep.
instantly, right? That's a sneezer. So that was the focus. And really, it was very, very hard, very challenging. And the first couple of years, our revenue was so low. I mean, we were doing like 300 grand a year, which is, I mean, nothing. I mean, you can't even get a paycheck out of that, after all the rent and expenses and stuff.
Yeah.
So, it was just, I think part of the entrepreneur journey on that is just They say it takes 10,000 hours to be a professional, right? But how many
That's correct,
hours,
yeah.
how many hours do we have off the clock? I mean, it's 24/7. You never stop it, And so I got our first employee about 2 months later, and then it was so nice because he could answer the phones and I could install, and then we'd change days. I'd be in the front, he'd be in the back. And we just, kept trying to produce the best we could do, and then the technology get better and things like that. And then the cool part, I guess, is we kept pushing and pushing. Revenue kept getting better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And then finally in 2000, it's kind of funny because in 2008, the economy crashed, right? Or starting to crash. It was a little late for us, like 09, but that was the first year we basically hit our first million in revenue, which was humongous because I didn't understand profit and loss and all that. I just knew we had to hit a million in revenue to be a real company, I felt like. And so I remember calling Jason in September, and I was like, "Hey man, I think we're gonna do it this year. I think we're finally gonna hit $1 million." He's like, "Why do you say that?" I said, "Man, it's not even September yet, and we're already at like 875.
Forecasting it,
Yeah, we're
yeah.
already at 875. We haven't even hit the snow."
Yeah.
And then so sure enough, we ended up finishing the year at like 1.2 million. Our first million. It was amazing. But the amazing part was in October 1st, our CPA called me from Seattle. And she was like, "Hey, I need you to go to Wells Fargo. You need to go sign some paperwork and blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Oh, well, Jason changing bank accounts," because he'd always just change bank accounts, And she's like, "No, he gave you half the company." I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Yeah,
He didn't like call you and precursor
no,
that?
he didn't call me nothing. The CPA called me and told me." She said, "I need you to go to the bank, sign these paperwork." So he made a new corporation, everything, and gave me half the company. And that was because we finally hit the million. That was like, so it
That
took
was
me,
like your gift.
He's your
yeah,
benchmark.
took me 8 years. Well, he just, so I feel like, for freedom, you have to find someone that loves a company as much as you or more. And I love perfectionists more than he did. So his baby was CompuStar. So by me loving perfectionists, it set him free to go build CompuStar, and then he
Yeah.
got to, create his dreams. So he just, ended up doing that. So I ended up getting half the company, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is amazing," and but then, then after we did the revenue, we had, a certain amount of profit. I don't know, a couple hundred grand of profit or something. And then I get the K-1, and I'm like, "What the heck is this thing?" And I owed, and I was like 75,000 that I owed, and whatever is like additional income, blah blah blah. And then I was like, called up Jason, and said, "Why'd you do this to me? I don't have any money. I don't know how am I supposed to pay the taxes?" And so I think anybody that got their first K-1, you probably,
Sure.
freaked out too, and then, he's just like, "Ah, you idiot, you can do distributions and blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "I don't understand this stuff." So anyway, obviously learned how to do it later on, but,
So you first panicked because you got the K1 and you're like, am I gonna owe for all this
oh
money? And
yeah.
then he explained, well, you can take draws out of the
Yeah, he's
company.
like, "Yeah, but at first I was just like, "Oh my God, why did he do this to me?" Like, is he mad at me? And then a couple of things happened in 09 that was such a like huge part of where we are now, is that when the economy crashed, and so imagine I had my first $50,000 I ever had in my life, like, okay, like whatever it was, through how I got it, through distributions and stuff. But I was like, "Man, we're so on fire. Let's open up another business. Let's open up Perfectionist Home Audio and Security." I was like, it all fits the same amount of letters, everything is perfect. And then my brother-in-law, Eddie, he's amazing home audio. So this is a great business rule I learned, that businesses are systems dependent, not people dependent. So what I did is I took that 50 grand, I rented another spot in the same building, and we like outfitted it out, made it look like a nice theater room, and I sent Eddie out to school, and we bought, all the best equipment and all this stuff, and I put all this education and everything on Eddie. And so the whole time Jason's like, "I don't know if this is a good idea, man. I think the economy's something bad's about to happen." He's really smart about this stuff. And I'm like, "Nah, man, we're on fire, dude. We just did $1 million," and
Yeah.
so I'm an idiot, of course, and
You're learning,
I'm
you're
learning.
learning.
Yeah, okay,
That
well.
seems like you're kind of, we've all had a kind of models we channeled, and if I remember right, who kind of did the audio and did the home audio was Shimmick
Shimmick's, right?
back
Yeah,
in the day. And
exactly.
Shimmick's, I mean, that used to be the place. I remember they had you'd go in there and wait for your stereo, and they had a movie room. You go in there and have popcorn and sit down.
It was
And I remember
amazing.
sometimes we'd go in there and take our lunches and sit down. And like, are you guys buying anything? I'm like, no, we're just watching a movie and eating
Yeah,
popcorn.
it was
Yeah.
that was such an anchor of a
Oh,
place. Yeah,
huge.
and the greatest compliment for us is that, like, when they closed down, the owner told like one of our installers that we've had now 12 years, literally, he was like, "Go to Perfectionist and get a job. That's the
Sure.
only other place." And then Terry and Joe both frequent our store and get their installs done there and everything. So to me, I'm like, "Wow, that's huge,"
That's awesome.
Yeah, so ended up opening up this home audio business, everything, like, it was done, man. And we were like, "All right, let's go. We're open for business," and everything's great. So we probably ran for like a month or so. Then the economy crashed. I'm like, oh my God, you know. So I'm standing by my door, like every day praying to God, like, God, give me one car today. Just give me one car. Because unlike COVID, everybody could travel back then, you know. So everybody
Yeah.
was gone. We had the most beautiful summer ever. So everybody's out in the woods. So, oh my God. So it was really, really bad. That's, I think it's where all my gray hair came from, honestly, was
Was that
09.
year?
I was so
I thought it was
stressed.
the three kids. I know that's where I'm
Well,
getting mine from.
three daughters is tough, man. But the scariest thing is, like, I feel like as an owner, you know, is that if you can't make payroll, you know, to me, I feel like, man, I'm so responsible for everybody that, you know, I don't care about the vendors and them at that moment. All I care about is my guys got to pay their bills, and I'm like, how am
Yeah.
I going to do this? So, and then back then I didn't have any lines of credit, didn't have no, you know, really no high credit card limit, you know, nothing. It was just everything. So I ended up selling everything I owned. I had a car, I sold my girl's car, I sold my motorcycle, every tool that I could sell. And so I have this purple scooter at my shop. It's a 94 Honda Elite. And honestly, to this day, like, we started up every summer and I never sell it because I rode that. Me and my girl rode that every day back and forth to work, to the grocery store. We both wear backpacks, and whatever we could put in a backpack, that's all we could get for groceries.
It was Jean back in the day.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. And I still have that scooter. People try to buy
I see
from
it
me
all the
on there.
time.
I'm like, no, I'll never
That
sell it.
scooter's a reminder of what for you?
Struggle, man, just like struggle, and just like, but gratitude that I had that, because I mean, just to be able to drive 40 miles an hour up and down Diamond to go take her to work or go over here or go over there, you know. And
Yeah.
so that was a big moment. But then the kind of next punch in the face was, is, you know, obviously home audio died off a little bit as well. But then my sister comes in my office one day and she's like bawling her eyes out. So of course, you know, I'm like, oh, who do I gotta kill, you know? What did Eddie do? I gotta go kill this guy, you know. And then she's just like, my boss is closing the company here, and he's moving to Texas. I said, okay, what's wrong? She goes, well, he wants me to move to Texas too. And I'm like, I just put every penny I had in my whole life into Eddie for this business for him and you to have. And she's like, I know, that's why I'm so sad. I don't know what to do, you know. And then so literally within a month, they had to move to Texas.
How was the home audio doing at that time? I mean,
It
was
was,
it?
I mean, it was decent. You know, we were definitely getting some jobs, but I mean, we were only a couple months old. You know, we did like the home shows and things,
Yeah.
but just, you know, have this situation, and then I don't know nothing about it because I put everything into him. So I was like, I learned that lesson there. You're like, oh my God, I put so much, you know, information in him, and now he's gone. And then so they had to move, and then I had to figure out with John how to like find someone to rent the place, and I had to, like, you know, try to sell everything in there. And oh my God. And then of course Jason's like, and, you know, I told you not to do this, you know. And then the vendors start calling, and, you know, hey man, you know, we need to get payment, we need to get payment. I'm just like, God, you know. And everybody's struggling, of course. So I said, guys, I said, listen, I'll give you everything I can give you, but I said, just let me get to the snow. I said, just let me get to the snow, and then I'll get back in it. And then luckily we had an amazing winter. You know, we had a ton of snow, and then we got remote start. So I ended up probably being, I don't know, man, almost probably like 75,000 in debt, really bad. And that was really a lot. I mean, a huge number for me back then. And then, but luckily, you know, probably by the middle of November, I finally got all the vendors caught up. Everybody was cool. But that moment, I think for the next 15 years helped us because we, you know, we took care of it, you know, and it wasn't like I went out of business and kind of screwed everybody over, you know. So we really focused on that.
So you came to a point where everything's falling apart and the person that you invested in is not invested in you.
Yeah.
And
Well,
so,
I think he was moving with his family. I mean, he's
yeah.
still close to Eddie. Eddie's still married to his sister,
Well, what I
so.
mean by that is that you made an investment in him, but it wasn't the same, it didn't match you, basically.
Well, I think as the leader in that moment, I chose poorly because I didn't think of the long game. And I think in business you have to think the long game because, you know, a lot of times I feel like as entrepreneurs, right, we get, you know, I know me and you've had so many cars, we get so excited, oh, I got this idea, I'm gonna do it. And then we go start buying stuff and we start thinking, but then we're like, oh dang it, that didn't work out like I was hoping it was going to, or that wasn't gonna be the play that I should have done. So I think in that moment it really, you know, like my investment strategy is much different now, you know.
Yeah.
And now I wanna know every job, and I wanna be able to do every job in my shop in case something like that happens, you know. Don't ever wanna be an owner that, like, I don't know how that works. You know, because we need to know, right? We're the leaders. Like, you can jump in any vehicle here and drive it all day long, you know?
Yeah, but don't ask me to put a reservation in because then I'm going to stumble at that. So,
Well,
and you and I have talked about that too. It's
yeah.
like there's a right the right place
There's
and
a
the right seat.
balance.
There's a balance of what you have to do. Like, you can only imagine some of the ones that we follow, and those guys probably don't know half the system organizations that they do for their companies, but they know how to put the right people in the right seat to do those things. And you're right, you do have that ebbs and flows of people coming in and out, and you should have some general knowledge about what's going on, but
Well, you know, the tough thing in my industry too, I feel like, is we're very technical, you know, so it's hard to find a body, you know. And it's kind of funny, like I'll go to like some like Crumbl Cookies or something, and I walk in there, there's like 20 people in there making cookies. I'm like, man, I can't believe I can't find one of these people to come to my shop and learn how to do this, you know. So it's tough to, in some situations, to be able to find that body to put in that place, because you know, then you do it, and then there's so much training you have to give them. I tell them I need 6 months with you to get you to where you can be, you know, kind of self-sufficient, you know. So that's been a challenge, you know, finding great staff and things like that. Like some of the, you know, the amazing people I have, like Aaron's been with me. Aaron's my, you know, my store shop manager. He's 17 years now. He's been with me. Other guy's 12 years, you know. And now I got a couple newbies, but even the newbies are like 5 years in now, you know.
The
So that's,
newbies are 5 years in and they're still called the
yeah, they're
newbies.
still the newbie,
Well,
yeah.
because they're still junior to everybody else.
Yeah, so you know, so I think that, and then the thing too is like, man, you know, I've lost everything 3 times, and you know, I had to rebuild myself, and by doing that, and then you just, you know, you get scared of doing some big things, because it's like at any moment, like, you know, it's funny now, like Aaron yells at me all the time, because let's say we had 2 no-shows or 3 no-shows or something happens, you know, and it's like, no, I'm like, oh my God, we're going out of business, dude. Like, this is not good. People are mad at us. And Aaron's like, oh my God, John, somebody might got sick, you know, it's just a bad day. We'll be busy tomorrow, you know. But they don't understand what it feels like when it's like you lose everything, you know, and you just don't know how you're gonna, you know. I always say it's like that's the water, you know, and we're at the bottom of the pool, we're trying to get out to the air, you know. And you know, that's always my fear, that, you know, like any moment we can get wiped out or something, you know. But and I gotta get over that. I'm trying. I mean, it's 25 years later, I'm still like
And you
nervous though.
know, I mean, John, as we've talked about every single time, it's ebbs and flows. Like you'll have these ebbs and flows that come through there. But if you look at your bottom lines and everything you go across, which we have talked about this many times with our company and everything, and our financials and
It's all cyclical.
IRS and all the other things going, it's just like it's all gonna happen.
Yeah.
It's just it's our anxiety level. You have to do it. And then once you can let go of that stuff, like I don't have any of those. I shouldn't say I should. I have less fears of those things happening in my life now, even though we lost like a pretty big contract that we went out to, but we've already had phone calls of them coming back. So
Yeah.
it's one of those things that we just figured that it wasn't our time of season, it wasn't what's going on, and then we have to just figure out what our next step is. And
That's right.
panicking it kind of is like when we were talking about our whole COVID thing, it's like, you know, we had to sit back, breathe, and figure out what's our next step on this. Everybody was shutting down their doors, people were getting 14-day quarantines. Airlines were shutting down flights. Like, okay, how can we partner up with people? How can we make this even better than what we were doing before? And I think it's just us sitting back, talking to somebody sensible, and making sure that we have this, and just saying, okay, we're not going to panic. We're just going to go through this, and we're going to make sure this happens, and we're going to have a good mindset and go forward and see how we can not take advantage of it, I should say, is what's the opportunities in it?
Yeah,
What's our
definitely.
next opportunity that we can do in this? Like the COVID, everybody else was kind of, they were shutting down doors and that, putting their employees and laying people off. And we're like, how can we partner with the hotels? All these people have to get sick. They have to go somewhere. We had just started the ambulance company. We were done doing non-emergency. All of a sudden, we're doing 15, 20 transfers a day. Well, there's something here to this. So I think timing's everything, John, is what I was trying to say. And I think you had to go through those rough seas and rub those things to get to where you're at now. And then, you know, with the history of 25 years, if there's a pandemic, if there is a financial downflow, you kind of have to just know where you need to go. And you kind of have like you have your bullet sheet. Like if we're going through a recession, here's my bullet sheet. I got to go through these steps here to make sure that we're secure, but we're open, and we're going to now look for this kind of business and start going chasing after these people, because these people still need to get all this maintenance on their truck, and they might be shut down, but this might be the perfect time to pick up 30 or 40 of their vehicles in their fleet, and I can start working on, because come when this pandemic ends, hey, I need all those vehicles going, you know? So.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's the nature of an entrepreneurial soul, is that, yeah, we're gonna figure it out. You know, what's that old saying that an entrepreneur is gonna figure out how to fix a plane while it's like literally almost hitting the ground, and then we know we'll like pull up right before it hits, you know? And
Sure.
I feel like that is the most amazing analogy, because how many times have you know, something happens and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, how are we gonna figure this out? Like, all right, you know, like, you know, I had a couple years ago, I had started another company. Actually, 10 years ago, almost, next year will be 10 years, I started my other company. And, you know, I ended up leaving that company in 2018. And it was the craziest thing. So at the time, that company's probably worth a quarter million to me at, you know, myself at the time. And then so on a Monday, I lost that. And then on a Friday, we lost our biggest client at the time, which was worth another quarter million. So we lost a half a million in a week in cash flow. So, you know, at that moment, they're like, oh my God, you know, that to us, that was
That was a gut check.
detrimental. I mean, you're talking 30, 40,000 a month in cash flow. And, you know, I was like, whew, and I was going through a crazy relationship at the time too, which didn't help at
I was
all.
there, remember?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm calling you every day. And, anyway, at that moment, the crazy part was, I think was, you know, to lose that half a million a week and then pulling together with the team, probably like, you know, a couple weeks later, like, all right, guys, this is what happened. How are we going to fix this? And, you know, we got together and created a new, you
Now,
know.
who were the guys that you asked that question to?
Well, so like
Did you have
Aaron,
mentors or was it your
no,
team?
it was just my team, you know, my team, and I had to apologize to them because I failed, you know, I made t decisions. When I started the other company, where I had messed up was, I should have had separate companies, but I ran everything through Perfectionist, so then that affected that type of thing. And then, you know, just a lot of the personal stuff I let get in the way of stuff and decisions and things. So, you know, and then the other part of it, not leading the team to take care of the client that we lost, because I was just like, hey, did you go check on the client? Yeah, they're good, they're good. We emailed them, you know, but I'm always like, no, you should go see them, bring them donuts, talk, you know, pizza or something, talk to them, see what's going on. And then for a couple of months, I never did. And I was like, yeah, we should have got a PO by now, you know, or something. And then sure enough, I finally call up there and I'm talking to my people and they're like, oh, John, wait, they switched over to another vendor. And I was like, you know, so you're just like in the same week, you're like, oh my gosh, man, like this is crazy. Like, how can it get any worse than this? You know, but then, you know, I think about the beginning when we didn't have anything, or like 09, when it was like I had to sell everything. But now I lost a half a million and we're like, we're still in business. You know, like, so small businesses, how many people could take a half a million dollar hit and kind of be like, oh, well, we'll figure it out, you know? So then, so we created a new, like you said, we took opportunity, got into a different category in the business. And then the next year we made 650 back. So we're like, okay, we made up that money plus some. And then and it's still an existing business now, which is
So,
great.
do you think that you would have actually like brought on that extra revenue stream had you not been in this experience of losing? Like, would you have even been looking for it?
Well, again, I was so scared to invest because of what happened with my brother-in-law. So now it's like, and I had to invest. So even though we had lost a lot, I had to like find the money somewhere to, you know, buy the machines and different things that we had to do to get the inventory in. So if I didn't lose that, then I wouldn't have got focused and said, okay, we got to come together and figure this out. Like, it's not just me, you know, I always tell everybody, you know, if someone does a bad install or somebody has bad service, they're not going to say, oh, John screwed it up. They're going to say Perfectionist screwed it up. You know, if you go into reviews, it's not very often you see a name. It's more the business. So I said this, you know, I always call Perfectionist my big fat girl. I'm like, hey man, this big fat girl been taking care of us. We got to take care of her too, you know? And, so, you know, that was a huge challenge of that. And if I didn't lose all that, then yeah, I wouldn't have got refocused to say, we got to figure this out. That was kind of like, this is going to hurt us bad if we don't figure out some way to get out of this, you know?
And it's
So.
like you focused on what it was that you guys wanted, which was
Right.
to figure out the solutions. What I
Absolutely.
love about your story, John, is that you are this 20-something guy who doesn't know anything about business. Like, where do you come from? Like, was there like, what's your heritage? Where are you from?
So I'm Thai and Polynesian. So it's kind of crazy. So my mom went into labor in the air, and then she had to land in Iran. So I was actually born in Iran, and then we were there for a couple of days, which has haunted me my whole life because now it's on my passport. But so we're in Iran for, like, say, a week, I guess, for the baby. Then went back to Thailand, and then my mom, she couldn't, you know, she was very young, typical 70s story, couldn't take care of me. And then she wanted to get to America, so I got adopted, and then came to America. I grew up in North Carolina. The crazy thing, it was my biological father brought me here, and my mom. And then once we crossed the border, whatever we had to do, he took every single piece of paper that had my existence with him. So to this day, I don't even have a birth certificate. So
Really?
yeah. So then I was like an illegal alien for a while. Then my dad, who adopted me, you know, he had to figure this stuff out. He was in the Army, luckily. So I was like a legal alien for a while, had a green card. And then when I was 13, I got my citizenship. And then moved here when I was 16. And then, yeah, it's just, you know, it's a pretty crazy journey. And then, so when I was 14, I was working at this meatball like sub shop, you know. And what we would do is we would go on base every day and drop flyers off to all the barracks. And so next door to that shop, there was a shop called DAS. It's called Discount Auto Sound.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and so this guy, so back then in the early 90s, if you,
tires, stereos, all
kinds of you had like a Honda CRX, that was like the car. Anyway, I was outside one day eating a sub, and this guy pulls up in this Honda, and man, this thing had the craziest system. And I remember, like, you know, the building had these like 8-foot-tall windows, and he played like Baby Got Back, and it was like boom, 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 and the baby got boom, and the bass hit. And when that bass hit, the windows were like, I was like, oh my God, I'm not gonna work here, you know? So I went over and begged the guy. I was like, dude, you gotta let me work here, man. I work for free. I don't care. I'll sweep the floors, I'll clean the bathroom, whatever you want. He's like, man, get out of here, dumb kid. What are you talking about? And I was like, no, seriously, man, I gotta do this. This is my life. I need to do it. All right, I'll give you a shot. So then I quit the job, and the next day I was working there after school and learned everything I could learn. And then when I moved to Alaska, I went to East, and me and my buddy Sal, we had opened up a business called The Sound Doctor. And it was funny because I didn't have any gear, but I was fixing everybody's stuff. And so I was at my mom's house just building systems all summer type of thing. And yeah, some girl one day was like, man, you're so cool. You're like the sound doctor. And I was like, man, that's a cool name. So we went to get like hats embroidered and had a business license. And we were in high school handing out business cards. So all summer I was building systems. And then so then Pyramid used to be open back on Fireweed.
Yep.
And this guy named Shannon, he was the manager. And I would go over to him and buy stuff from him all the time. And so finally, when I turned 18, he had moved to Safe and Sound. And then when I turned 18, he was like, man, you want a job? And I was like, heck yeah, I want a job. You know, like, I want to work in this shop. It's awesome. So I started working there 2 days a week. And then, you know, then ended up becoming one of their, you know, head guys there after like 4.5 years. And then went to Perfections and CompuStar. And then
That's
kind of
awesome.
got thrown into the fire, you know, thrown into the kitchen, you know. And it's like, all right, now you're the boss. And I'm like, I don't know what to do, you know, but.
And the good part of that is you're still friends with Shannon. You still talk to Terry. I ran into Terry just a couple of weeks ago at Cars and Huffman.
Awesome.
And I'm like, Terry, and he's like, Charlie. So we sat and talked about a whole half an hour about his building caving in and how things was and how he sold it to Shannon. And he's now just kind of living his best life.
Man, he's incredible. There's a great business book, and everybody I think has read it, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And so at that time, Terry is my rich dad, and then, you know, unfortunately, my dad's a poor dad, you know. And then when I met Jason, then Jason's my rich dad, and then, you know, I hate to say my dad, he's the poor dad, but you know, it's these
When you
people.
say poor dad, you're saying just in financial wise.
Well,
So in the book,
yeah.
it talks about his poor dad was the educator. He was the guy who was
And get the
the
good job.
scholar.
Yeah,
He
get
didn't
the yeah.
value
Have
the
you ever read it?
entrepreneur.
Oh, it's a phenomenal book. Yeah, it's basically the idea is, yeah, like the dad was like, get a good job, get a good career, you get a pension, you know,
Sure.
work hard your whole
He
life.
was
And
in
then,
this box.
yeah, and then the rich dad is like, no, you got to invest, you got to buy property, you got to build businesses, you know, you got to do these things. So yeah, so Jason and Terry were both that, you know, and I learned so much from them in that aspect that it was like, you know, it's frequency, you know, being around these people. And then you meet other people, and then everybody talks the same, you know, like meeting you, and
Sure.
you're always like, come on, John, you got to push it. You got to do something different. Get out of the office, you know?
But, Ben, that's it's still my biggest thing is that you need to be your number one salesperson. I mean,
Yeah.
you are the everything to perfectionist, and you built it that way, and that's how you built where you are. But we see such a bigger vision for you and where perfectionist should be because, as we've learned, that we can put people in those positions, and sometimes it's not the right person in the right seat, and we have to switch those seats a couple times. But once you figure out you can do that, because you're your biggest asset in your company, you're the best salesperson ever. You can make things and snap decisions. That's when we go to corporate meetings and we go to things, much easier for us to do it than our operations manager or anybody else can do it, because we can make that decision right then and there and
It
let them
trickles
know that
down.
they don't have to wait for that answer. They don't have to rethink what's going on. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like, you know, the tough thing is, with the world for us right now, and I'm thinking, you know, like 100 feet above, looking 5 years, 10 years out, is, you know, I'm gonna be 48 next month, you know, and you know, me and you both September Virgos, right?
Yeah.
And you know, Aaron, my best guy, this guy is incredible. He's gonna be 35 this year, so 10 years from now, he's gonna be 45. You know, like, so us technicians are kind of fading out. You know, like I still love being in the install bay and building and doing things. One of our friends, Corvette RC, I'm about to do a bunch of stuff to his car today, you know? So I think in the future, like, how much more life is perfection is going to have? Because the kids nowadays, they're not into cars as much as they used to be, you know? I mean, man, you remember when you were 16, I mean, we're the first day you turned 16, you're at the DMV getting your license. But now these guys are 18,
They take an
19.
Ubers.
Yeah, they
So
don't
what's
even.
your parallel? That's where you get the
Well,
parallel.
that's where like SoundShield comes in. You know, that's why I started this other company, because like we just expanded into South Africa. We just got into Singapore now. You know, we're working on Malaysia and Indonesia and all these different things. And it's like, I feel like as a business, the shift of it is, you know, you have to be able to serve more people, and absolutely your business model, right? And so for us, it's like, you know, I want to serve as many as I can, but we're limited with the doctors, and we're limited, you know, my technicians are the doctors, you know, we're limited with that. We're limited with, it's crazy. I've been doing 32 years in Anchorage doing remote starts, and still meet people that never had a remote start. It's crazy, you know, but you know, eventually the challenges are like the new cars are so nice. You know, they're doing a really good job. The audio sounds good. The Bluetooth works good. You got backup cameras, you got everything. So to get people out of that's a challenge, you know, but you know, we still have a great market, but you know, I feel like SoundShield for me is the longevity, because if I can serve the earth, you know, then there's cars being built everywhere in the earth, and that's the future, you know, for me and the staff, you know.
You're not limited to Alaska.
And that
Right.
particular product that you're talking about, SoundShield, that is the liner that dampens the road noise, which
Absolutely, yeah.
that is like I notice road noise in every car that I
Yeah.
drive.
So you drive your Wagoneer, and then she gets in something else. She's like, I can hear
No.
everything in
Even
there.
in the Hellcat, like when I'm driving the red eye, because I'm so low to the ground, I can hear a lot more. But when I'm in the Wagoneer, it is just like it is such
Tight.
a nice
Tight, yeah.
vehicle.
Yeah.
The Grand Wagoneer Obsidian model is what I drive, and it is just.
And how often do you, like, when you guys go out of town, you get like a rental car, but like a cheap one? Like, when's the last time you had like a
No,
cheap one?
we don't
Yeah.
usually get cheap
You
cars.
should do it one time, and then you will
No.
really,
No, no, no,
really,
no.
you'll
No.
really appreciate how
Because
nice
when
your
we go
cars
out, we
are.
try to rent the cars that we want to drive or what we do. Like the
Absolutely,
last
yeah.
time we were in Arizona, we rented a Wagoneer and it was great. I mean, we love it.
I'll tell you where
Let's
we get
put a
stuck.
pause on this and see who take two on this, because let's go on to the second half.
Thanks again for joining us on the Raise Up podcast. You can find us at raiseupmindset.com. Our socials link there so you can get anything that you need from Instagram, Facebook, our shorts. You can download the podcast straight from the website. If you're listening on another platform, please like, subscribe, share. We're just getting the word out on really the encouragement and propelling the entrepreneurial movement in our communities. Thanks again for listening. We've got something special at the end of our episodes now, where it's called the Raise Up Response. This is just a sheet that if you want to dive deeper, it's got questions, it's got takeaways from the podcast. Click the link below and you can request it. It'll take you to our website and find it in your inbox. Thanks again. Bye-bye.